Thank you for choosing the podcast of East Haven Baptist Church in Brookhaven, Mississippi. For more information on the ministries of East Haven and to access videos and sermon notes from our services, visit www.easthaven.net.
This morning, as we continue our summer series of hot topics for a hot summer that we will continue through the first Sunday in September, I want to talk about the dude in Africa. Now, if you've looked at your worship guide, you can see the title there. Through the years, I've been asked as a pastor and even as a student minister before becoming a pastor, hey, how about the dude in Africa that's never heard the gospel? And he dies. What happens to him? So I want to talk about the dude in Africa. And I also want to share with you, I've met the dude in Africa. Several times I've had an opportunity, like some of you, to go to Africa on different mission trips. And so there are a lot of foreign lands. We could use other lands. What about the dude in Pakistan? What about the dude in Austria? What about the dude fill in the blank here in the deep south? So let me say it another way. What happens to those that live in a land, in other words, not the Bible Belt, where there is not a church on every corner and they never hear before death? Do they go to hell? That's the hot topic for today. And by God's grace, we will seek to understand from His Word how He answers that question. Now, if you have your Bible, I would encourage you to turn to John 14:6. We could read that, which I will in a minute, and we could just go ahead and go on home because it tells it right there. But I also am going to look at some other passages. In particular, I'll look at Romans Chapter 1, several verses. Chapter 2, several verses. And there'll be some other passages that I will read along the way. Now, as you have your outline, if you're a note taker, and some aren't, and that's fine too, just know there will also be some subpoints to the subpoints. So today, you need to, if you are a note taker, you need to crank up your pen because we're going to go pretty fast, and there's a lot of information that I want to share with you. And so if you still miss a few blanks, come see me afterwards, and I'll let you see my notes, and hopefully you can fill in the blanks, and you'll be okay. Now, don't assume that this message is not for you. Okay, just because we're in the deep south and we're sitting here in a nice, cool, air-conditioned building and we might have some water to drink, don't assume, and you've been to church all your life, you might even been baptized, don't automatically assume that God may not have you providentially here to hear something from His Word today, or something that finally connects. Or it might be that God lays on your heart somebody in Brookhaven or Lincoln County, wherever you live, that's like, hey, that dude or dudette is not from Africa, but he needs what I've heard, the gospel, and received and changed my life. So with that being said, let's talk about that. Two questions from the hot topic, two major points. The number one major point is this. He, meaning the dude, is responsible for what he does with the one and only way. The dude in Africa, just like you, dude, just like you, Miss Dude, just like me as a dude, there's only one way. It doesn't matter where you live. And it's in the Gospel of John, chapter 14 and verse 6. Now, we could go to other places in the Bible, but here's what Jesus says. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. That's true in Lincoln County, and that's true for the dude in Africa. You see, God is holy. He is perfect. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And we are sinners. We're to come just as I am, as the song says, just as we are. And we're to come to him through Jesus. He's the bridge that gets us from death to life. There is no other way. Now, as you look at your subpoints, let's look at some things here. First of all, man, we have a definite sway, our bent, our inclination towards sin. Ecclesiastes 7:20 says, there's not a righteous man on earth who does what is right and never sins. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It also says in Romans 3, there is no one who does good, not even one. So we are lost in our sin. No matter how good we are, we cannot be good enough to get to heaven. So the sin, the sway affects not just our lives, but our sight. Our sin affects our sight, meaning the way we see life. We have limitations. We don't see things like a holy and perfect God. Why? Because we are depraved. Here's what Isaiah 55 says. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, says the Lord. Neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your thoughts, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12 says, now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Meaning one day when we get to heaven, we'll see things totally differently because we won't have that sin nature. Now I know in part, the passage says, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. Then there's a means. God provides a way. He provides a way through a ray of hope. For those that seek, the Bible says, seek me and you will find me. It does not say, and you hopefully will find me, or you might find me, or if you get your life right, you will find me. It says that you will find me. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please God, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is. And he is a rewarder of those that what? Diligently seek him. Romans 1:18 says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. It makes a difference. It draws us, the sinner. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. So I want you to look at Romans chapter 1. Maybe you've already turned there. Let's look at verses 20 and 21 and then chapter 2, 14 and 15. And as I read these passages, I want to see if you can't see from these passages the two things that God uses to draw us to himself. Anyone, no matter where they live, no matter how wretched you are or a person is, he uses these things that he's created in the world and in our lives as a gauge, a rod, something to draw us to himself. Let's look at Romans chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. You may have picked up on it already. And verse 21 says, for although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. And then the second thing we're going to pick up, chapter 2. Let's look at verse 14 and 15. Indeed, when Gentiles who do not have the law do by nature things required by the law, they are a law for themselves, even though they do not have the law. They show that the requirements of the law are written on their hearts, their consciences also bearing witness, and their thoughts sometimes accusing them, and at other times even defending them. Maybe you saw it. Creation and our conscience that God can use and will use to draw us to himself. I'll never forget when I was a student minister years ago at Morrison Heights, we had in the summer, Dr. Adrian Rogers, who was in heaven now, but he was pastor at Bellevue, and he came and he preached a message. And in that message, he made four statements concerning light, which we're going to talk about right now. I want to provide, and I want to give you that God provides. Here's the first thing he said. All men have some light. All men have some light. Psalm 14:1. The fool says there is no God. Dr. Rogers added, he said, an April Fool's is their holiday. Secondly, light refused increases darkness. Listen closely to that one. All men have some light. Light refused, hardening your heart. No, justifying sin. Deciding, I'll do that later. Hearts hardened. Light refused increases darkness. 2 Thessalonians 2:9 through 12 describes one who loves lawlessness and wickedness. So God allows them to let evil triumph over them due to choosing evil. We also see this in Romans chapter 1 and verse 28 in particular. In other words, the Lord says, okay, thy will be done. You've refused light. You've refused light. You've put your foot down. I will not repent. I will not be broken. And he allows the person to have their will. Number three, he said light obeyed increases light. In Acts chapter 10, it's about Cornelius. Many of you have studied this passage. He was seeking, and God sent Simon Peter to tell him about Jesus. Our God is a big God. He can orchestrate things, put people in our path, cause a book to show up, cause a missionary to show up, have a radio program, and God can speak to us through all kinds of ways. He's not limited like you are and like I am. And then number four, Dr. Rogers says, one is going to be judged according to the light one has been given. We find that in Romans 2:16, Luke chapter 12, 47 through 48, Matthew chapter 11, verses 20 through 24. These passages show that God is just. God is merciful. Oh, yes, but he's just, which means he does what is right. When we go before a judge, don't we want somebody that's going to call the right shot, that's going to make the right decision, that's going to do what is fair? Well, God is a merciful, gracious God, but he does what is right. The degrees of punishment for those who die in unbelief will be different and vary. Study those passages sometimes and you'll see it very clearly. Heaven is going to be great, but it'll be different for those because of various rewards or faithfulness. Hell's going to be awful, but it'll be different for those that are perhaps in the Bible Belt and have heard the gospel over and over and over again. God has many ways to get the truth to those who seek him. You've got missionaries. You've got the Bible. You've got media. You've got a vision that God may give that lines up with scripture in other lands or even an angel. But those who turn their back on the light they receive have no one to blame but themselves. John 3:19, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Really? It's a heart problem. Someone has hardened their hearts. It's not a head problem. And John 7:17, Jesus said, if anyone chooses to do God's will, he will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own. I like what John MacArthur said about this particular subject and passage. He said, in lands where the gospel has not reached, God holds men responsible to receive the revelation he has given them. When they receive it, he in sovereign grace sees to it. They hear the good news of salvation in Christ alone so they can believe and be saved. Listen, God is sovereign. Let's go over the sovereignty of God for a moment. Romans 8:28. All things work together for good to those that love God and are called according to his purpose. It means he alone is absolutely powerful, infinitely wise, and completely objective. It does not release us from our personal responsibility, but it reminds us of who's in charge. In Romans chapter 11, it says this, beginning with verse 33 through verse 36. This is what it says about the sovereignty of God. Oh, the depths of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay them? For from him and through him and for him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. In that passage, here's what we find. The originator, from him. We find the enforcer through him. We find the provider to him. He is sovereign. There is a means for sinful man, no matter where we live. After 9/11, there's a story told of a lady who was under the rubble. She thought she was going to lose her life. And she saw a little glimmer of light through a hole in the rubble, and she could hear some voices, and she had decided even before the voices, I'm going to just stick my finger through that light that I have, and hopefully people will see it through the rubble. Somebody did see her finger, and she began to call out, and a fireman that was close by heard her voice, her faint voice, and he saw her finger. And he came, the story goes, and held her finger and said, I'm here. I will not leave you. That's what happens when someone is seeking God. He will provide light according not to me, but the scripture. And then if that person responds to the light that he's given, God will come. And he will not leave. For an honest person who's trying to find out, why am I sinful? How do I connect with God? How do I have abundant life and eternal life? Because there's a God-shaped void in everyone that is born. And so we must keep that in mind as we look at the message. Jesus is the only way. Again, John 14:6. But I want to give you some more. According to the prophets, Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and they shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Almighty God. According to the person of Jesus, John 14:6. But listen to this. Paul to the church said in 1 Corinthians 15:17, if Christ has not been raised, then your faith has nothing to it. You are still guilty of your sins. According to Simon Peter, Acts 4:12, salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given by men by which we must be saved. According to another, the apostle Paul, 1 Timothy 2:5, Jesus is the only mediator between God and man. Jesus is Lord. No matter where you live, one day, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. It'll either be here or in eternity. Make a decision before it's too late. If you can hear me now, it's not too late. And it's never too late to be who God intended for you to be. You cannot be who He wants you to be by fulfilling His mission and purpose for you being here in the first place if you don't settle salvation and have a personal relationship with Him. But there's a second major point. He, the dude, is responsible for sharing with us about the one and only way. In Acts 1:8, we find out that we're to be witnesses. And that when we trust Christ, the Holy Spirit comes on us. And He gives us the power to be witnesses. Judea, Jerusalem, Samaria, all over the world. So let me tell you another thing about this dude. He's supposed to come to America and tell us about Jesus. And it doesn't take long these days to see. All you have to do is read the news, turn on the television, look on social media. We are a wretched people in our world. There are people that need Jesus right here in the United States of America. And so you may be shocked to know, some of you won't, other lands, Africa, Austria, Germany, other lands are sending missionaries here to America. Man, on your outline, we have lost people in the United States of America. George Barna says that America has become the new mission field. But there is a means. We should not get stuck in our old ways. We must be reminded of that. Because Jesus comes and He changes your life and He changes my life. And so we've got to be open to new means. Not of changing the message, but our methods from time to time. Right now I'm enjoying Joe McKeever's recent book that he's published. Dr. McKeever he's a retired minister, lives over in Jackson, probably teaching Sunday school at First Baptist Jackson right now. He'll be here for our senior adult gathering in September. Wonderful man of God. And he has, in one of his chapters, he puts in there top 10 principles for every church. And the number one thing that Dr. McKeever says is this: if you have a problem with change, you are not going to get along with Jesus very well. And you're going to be unhappy, he said, in this church. And that's something when he pastored, he would go through these 10 things and he would go over that over and over again. He would say to those coming, hey, if you don't like change, don't come here. You won't be happy. That doesn't mean just randomly changing stuff to get people upset and try to keep up with the Joneses or what the world's doing. But our methodology at times changes so we can be a means for telling lost man about Christ. And I'm thankful after a year and a half that for the most part, we got a lot of people here in this church that understand that. I've been in some of the other ones, and maybe you have too. And it's a lot different. And so we've got to be reminded, and Dr. McKeever had too, and he shares about that, which led him to do all that, that it's the message. We need to be open to the only way, and we need to be doing it differently if God leads us to in order to share the gospel, because there are people in the U.S. that they're sending to tell about Jesus Christ, the only way. Now, a few concluding statements that I want to make. Number one is this. It seems to me, in light of that question, that we need to continue our commitment to foreign missions. I'm so grateful that as Southern Baptists, through the cooperative program, through our once-in offering here at East Haven, we're committed to not just praying for missionaries, which is so important, but we're committed to giving to our missionaries. And we're committed to going and sharing. Brother Phil and I are even now exploring other opportunities and partnerships in the States as well as overseas to go along with some of the ones that we've been doing for a while. Next concluding statement is this. It seems to me that we should continue telling those here who we know are lost when there's no reason we can't get the gospel message to them. If anything, this message should remind you and remind me that even here in Brookhaven and some in our neighborhoods, they don't know the Lord. And so we pray, God, help me know how to connect with this person. Not beat them over the head with the Bible, but be kind to demonstrate the love of Christ. And then when you open that door, to have the courage and the boldness to step in. Share the gospel, invite them to a service, come to a Sunday school class, whatever that may be. Go talk to somebody that can share the gospel if you don't know how. By the way, on Wednesday nights, we're working through some of that in a non-threatening way. How do we do all that? And what do other people believe? And how do they understand us when we have the gospel, but we can't understand why they don't believe? 1 Corinthians 1:18, the message of the cross is foolish to those who are perishing. And then their number three statement is this. It seems to me, even though the question for the hot topic today is important, that the burning question is, what is going to happen to the one who sits in an air-conditioned building during a hot summer service, hearing the truth, possibly over and over and over, yet never respond? Psalm 145. Listen closely. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his deeds. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He will also hear their cry, and he will save them. And if you're here and you've never receive the gift of eternal life, he will save you if you'll let him. Respond to the light that he's given you. And do it today. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. We're not promised tomorrow. We're not responsible for other people. We're to share and love. But if we've never settled that question in our heart, why not settle it today? Dear God, I don't know who's listening. It might be that there's somebody listening on the radio or Facebook, but God, it could be somebody in this room needs to respond to the invitation. They need to talk to somebody that won't embarrass them, but will listen to them. Lord, I pray you'll give them the courage. Sometimes the first step is the hardest one to take. Help them to settle it once and for all. God, I also thank you for reminding us from your word that there is only one way, no matter what the world says. Because if righteousness could be gained through the law, our good works, then you died for nothing. This is your invitation, God. May we respond as you lead and you guide. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand. Our staff is here to talk with you, to pray with you, to talk about something that may not even be related to today's subject, if that's your desire. Robert?